Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up on the show, Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, Fox Sports, will join us. We will go over week one, look ahead to Monday night, maybe talk a little college at the end. Jeff is a very good cook, so I'm excited to get Jeff's thoughts on his Sunday spread. So Jeff is a renaissance man of sorts, so should be fun to talk to Jeff, and it was fun to have the NFL back. And we were just quickly reminded, I had an awful week, by the way. I don't want to sugarcoat it or brush under the rug. College, NFL, just bad calls. The one thing I got right, Packers getting the ball first. Hopefully that's a good angle going forward, and hopefully not enough people. I want a lot of people to listen to this, but hopefully not enough people listen to this where that can still become an angle where it's not priced properly. So Packers to score first, Packers get the first down, all of those things. Hopefully good bets, but other than that, man, it was ugly. It was awful. Dolphins was a terrible call. Giants never in it. So a rough NFL day for me. And I'll just get to some thoughts on pretty much every of these games, even just a sentence or a thought. Pretty much watched all of them at some point here. Before I say that, look, you're going to hear this a lot. Don't overreact. Don't overreact. There's some truth to don't overreact. I can remember it was Brady's first year with Tampa. So it was the COVID season 2020. They lost. They looked bad. Meanwhile, Belichick and the Patriots won and they looked good. And a lot of the takes the day after were, oh, wow. Yeah, Patriots are going to be fine. Belichick's going to be fine. Brady's in trouble. All of that. All of what you'd expect. And you know, Bucks and Tampa went on to win the Super Bowl. And the Patriots, were not a factor. That was the year with Cam Newton where they fell out and didn't even make the playoffs. And then there was a year after, I think the year after, where it was Packers-Saints. The game got relocated. And the Packers just got drubbed, lost by 30-something points to the Saints. And a lot of the talk was predictable of, you know, Rodgers is washed, Green Bay's washed, and Green Bay went on to I believe be the one seed that year. So you can get fooled by week one. There's always a couple results where you look back and it's just not congruent with the rest of the season. That being said, we have games. You can't just sit here and watch 16 games in a weekend and say, well, I'll react in week nine. That's not how it works. You gotta have some reactions, some takes. So let's get into it. I will say first, couple really good games early. Steelers and Jets, surprisingly excited, 34-32, surprisingly exciting, I should say, 34-32, a total of 38, both teams nearly get to the over by themselves. That was just not a game you'd expect, 66 points in. Boswell hits a 60-yarder to win it. Rodgers looked good, threw four touchdowns, the key sequence in the game. Jets had a lead, comfortable lead, they got it up to 9. Touchdown by the Steelers, Jets fumble the kickoff, another touchdown, and just like that, a game where you're feeling good about if you're the Jets. Jets hadn't punted for a majority of the game. And just like that, the Steelers take a lead. The Jets responded. They go up by 1. They did miss the 2. And that 1-point lead, as people know, that 1-point lead in the NFL is very, very tenuous. The fact that you lose on a field goal is just a tough lead to try and protect. And Steelers late have the ball. Look like maybe they can just run out the clock and kick it. They stalled. 3rd and 11. It should have been pass interference, I thought. 4th and 11. I wasn't even sure they were going to attempt the field goal, but from 60, Boswell nails it. And then the Jets get the ball back. And Ramsey breaks up a play on 4th and 2. It looked like it was going to be completion. Jets maybe creeping into field goal range, but a big hit by Ramsey. Ball pops loose. And then that was it. Steelers kneeled it out from there. So that was a fun game. Bengals-Browns. Bengals win by a point. They were flirting with, here we go again, going to ruin people's survivors. Not many people picked them in survivors. I think like 9 or 10%, but they should have lost. They really should have. Browns outplayed them for most of the game. The kicker was awful for Cleveland. Maybe by the time you listen to this, I'm sure that kicker, good chance he's not on the team anymore. He missed a PAT and another short field goal. And the Browns just seemed like every time I was checking in on that game, the Browns were driving. The Browns were moving the ball. And they had another drive plus territory right around midfield where it was 3rd and 5, and the rookie Fannin, who was going to be a good player, was great in college, dropped the ball. Wasn't the easiest pass, but he dropped it. And then on 4th and 5, they went for it, and Judy dropped it. Same thing where it was a little bit behind him, but it was catchable. I mean, you catch one of those, and who knows, different game. But Cleveland had it deep for a lot of the, a lot of the time. They just missed opportunity after missed opportunity. That was really a game Cleveland could have won, should have won, but the Bengals win. I'm sure with the way their seasons have started in the past handful of years here, they'll take even an ugly win, but that was not a game they should have won. Browns had every opportunity to win that game. The other game that was really good early was Tampa-Atlanta. Tampa ends up winning it by 3. Atlanta scored right away. Atlanta might have been the first team to score on Sunday. A couple minutes into the game, it was 7-0, and then they did nothing for a very long time. Got the ball back a couple times up 7-0, but eventually just fast forward to Tampa's up 4 in the fourth. Atlanta's driving late in the fourth, few minutes left. And there was a sequence at the end that just reminds you how maddening betting the NFL can be, because they had a bunch of plays from inside the 10, inside the 5. Fourth down, they go for it. Penix dives for the pylon, and he's short. He fumbles. It looks like Tampa ball, but then they review it and say, well, he got the first down because there was still a yard-to-gain scenario there. So Atlanta keeps it. They go for it again, first down, second down, third, eventually fourth, and scrambles again is Penix. Scrambling again is Penix on fourth down. He reaches out. I didn't think he got it live, but he did get it. Touchdown, Atlanta up 3, but Tampa comes right back. Quick touchdown helped by a bad roughing the passer by Atlanta. A really stupid penalty to go up 3, but then they miss an extra point, and then Atlanta comes back, and they get into field goal range and had a couple of shots at the end zone where the receiver just couldn't get their head turned around, or they had some close misses. I know Winfield broke up a ball. It looked like Atlanta might score, and if they didn't, you're thinking, all right, field goal here from Koo, who I don't quite trust, and that lack of trust showed itself because he misses the kick. Tampa wins. There was another strange play in there where Robinson steps out of bounds. They called him inbounds. Spike happens. Then they go back two plays later, which you're not supposed to do, which I don't think I've ever seen before, and said, oh, no, wait, that spike doesn't count. And the play before, he stepped out of bounds, so let's move the yardage back. Let's stop the clock. And it really was a scenario that was quite unusual if you watch the NFL. Usually it doesn't matter how bad a call or a missed call is. Once the next play happens, that's it. It's ancient history. You can't go back. But this situation, the spike, and then back to the yardage and the clock and that thing. But then Atlanta, feels like Atlanta plays in a lot of these games, whether it's versus the Saints or whether it's versus Tampa. Feels like it's always late, always down to a kick. I know they played last year and went to overtime with Cousins in one. So Tampa gets a good win. Atlanta, Penix looked okay. I wasn't overly impressed with him. He's got a lot of weapons. I know London got hurt. So a good win for Tampa. Frustrating loss, especially against the spread. If you're Atlanta there with the, getting the points. As far as the other games, Cardinals, Saints, Cardinals win. They cover the 6.5. So all the big survivors got home here. I didn't watch a ton of Cardinals, Saints, but kept an eye on it. If you kept the Cardinals, you actually covered the number there, even though that game was not, it's not a blowout. Saints, still have Kamara, still have Olave, but they're not going to be a good football team. Another team that looks like they have disaster written all over them is Miami. And this is one of the stories of the day for the worse. And I made the point the other day, you know what? When they have their guys healthy, they're not bad. Tua and the receivers, really good offense a couple years ago. Last year they got banged up. Well, I might have overestimated it. It looks like I did overestimate how bad the rest of the roster was. The secondary, the offensive line, the Colts won 33-8, and that was not indicative of what a blowout this was. 17-0 right away. There was a stretch. Or there was a time when Miami, I think, had 5 drives and 4 turnovers and a punt, or 4 drives and 3 turnovers and a punt. It was ugly. It was 17-0 before you could blink. The defense was awful. Tua looked awful. Just a terrible performance. And I'm sure that thing is just going to be on everybody's watch list here in terms of like what can fall apart the quickest here. Who can be the first coach fired? Do you blow it up? Because that was about as ugly as it gets. Again, the caveat has to exist. It's week one. Who knows? Things can get better. But if that is any representation of Miami, they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league, maybe in the in competition for the first pick. Especially, that was with Tua healthy today. What if he gets hurt and Zach Wilson is in there? That looks like a bad, bad team. A team that, kind of missed its window, had a chance with Tua on a young contract. They built weapons around him, but now it's just a house of cards situation. Raiders beat the Patriots 20-13. I think the Raiders might be pretty good. Genty didn't do much. They did get 19 carries, 30-something yards. He was not great, but Bowers is tremendous. Genty will be good. That's a nice road win. A New England team a lot of people like. To be able to win that game, I thought was a good win for the Raiders. Not that I don't think they can win the AFC West just with the Chiefs there and the Chargers and the Broncos. But them getting to like 9 wins in a wild card would be a vast improvement. Carroll's a good coach, maybe a little bit better on defense. Raiders could be plucky, I would say. And I don't really buy into New England. Steelers, Jets, we discussed. Washington, New York, a lot of people on the Giants, including me, never really in the game. Had some chances, moved the ball. Washington didn't look great on offense, but not much to add there. I don't know how long Russell Wilson's going to be the quarterback with Dart waiting in the wings, and you got 9 million quarterbacks on that roster. If you don't play well, there's going to be somebody looking to step up and take your spot. So 1-0 for Washington. Giants maybe a little too. It was kind of an odd, trendy team, and I bought into a little bit, a little bit better than you might think. Abdul Carter, good defensive line. They're still you know, based on this week and that roster and the schedule, they're still primed for a top five pick and probably a new coach next year, somebody replacing Dable and a whole new regime. Jags, Panthers, we had a weather delay here. We've gotten way too comfortable with these weather delays. When did this become a trend of the weather delays? I don't remember this happening. I won't even say 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I don't even remember this like 3 years ago, but the last couple years, this year, last year, it happens all the time in college. It happened Thursday night, Cowboys, Eagles. And it happened again here, Jags, Panthers. You had over an hour delay. Young was awful. Jags look like they have some weapons. They win the game 26-10. But way too many weather delays. I don't know when this became a thing. Like, did the weather, we've always had rain, thunder, lightning, all of these threats in the past. I just don't know why it's become a thing now to postpone these games like we do. But Bengals, Browns, we talked about. Bucks, Falcons, we talked about. 49ers beat the Seahawks 17-13. This was a strange game. A lot of missed kicks, and missed kicks were a theme today. Pick it up from 10-10. Seahawks had 4th-and-1 with like 3 minutes to go. Well inside the red zone. Easy chip shot field goal. But it was a situation where if they got the first down, they could have really bled the clock and almost ran out the whole thing and had the game by the throat. It was a tough call. I had no problem with them kicking it because San Fran had not moved the ball well all day. And their kicker had issues. So I understood taking the three and just saying, you know what, we'll take our points here. And usually I'd be more aggressive in going for it. But the flow of that game, it did not feel like the wrong thing. Purdy did not look good for most of the game, but he drove him down the field. And he got a tremendous catch from Tongs, who I had never heard of, the tight end. Kittle got hurt, and those guys for San Francisco always banged up. McCaffrey already, you know, on the injury report, even though he played. Kittle, Trent Williams, a lot of their key players are always hurt, which is why I'm a little skeptical of San Francisco, but they got a great catch and a touchdown to win an ugly game, 17-13. A lot of these games were ugly, low-scoring. Unders did very, very well today, which makes sense. The starters don't play much in the preseason. They played a little more this year than usual, but not as much as you'd like in terms of getting, you know, offensive rhythm. Titans, Broncos. Broncos win 20-12. If you had Survivor with Denver like that, like most people did, or like the majority of the field did, they scared the hell out of you because this game was not that easy. Broncos blew it open late with a touchdown. Dobbins broke away. Harvey had a big run. But this was nip and tuck for a while. I thought the Titans did one of the dumber things, and there were a couple strange coaching things in this one. The Titans, before the half, they had a lead, and they had the ball on their own goal line. You got a rookie quarterback, a good defense. You're leading. Denver only had two timeouts. You could have kneeled it three times or just done a little QB sneak. Or you could have basically just chosen to go in at halftime. They threw it on first. They threw it on second. I think they threw it again on third. And then Denver had all their was able to keep the timeouts and was able to get a touchdown. The half should have been over. Now, it was mitigated a little bit because Tennessee got a big kick return and kicked a field goal. But that was, I thought, really stupid coaching by Tennessee. And then the end of the game, Broncos up 8. And the game closed 8.5, 9 most spots. Broncos up 8. Makeable field goal range for Lutz, who's a good kicker, like 4th-and-8. I thought they were going to punt. I thought maybe they kick a field goal. Maybe they do one of those things where they snap it to they pretend like they're going to kick a field goal and they snap it to the kicker and the field goal kicker does a little pooch kick and they down it. Knicks just throws a bomb for the end zone. I guess they were going for an element of surprise and they figure, you know what, if we don't get it, it's not like Tennessee can move the ball anyway. And they ended up being right, but that was a strange coaching decision by Peyton and just an awful decision by the Titan coach Callahan before the half. Lions, Packers here, and we'll get to Jeff here in a second. Lions, Packers. Lions look bad. Didn't move the ball well. Their only touchdown came in garbage time. Packers scored first. Packers were up, you know, 10-0 before you could blink. If you don't give Goff an offensive line and you don't give him a running game, he is a very pedestrian quarterback. And I know the Packers are a good team, and it's on the road, and it's only week one, but that would be one where I'd have my, have my antenna up on Detroit that maybe all of the people that were skeptical about them coming into the season, losing the coordinators, losing the offensive linemen, maybe those fears were valid. They did not look very good. They just didn't look explosive on offense. And again, you take that element of Goff away with the run game and the play action, and he becomes a much less version of himself. Texans, Rams, not a lot of scoring, 14-9. Texans were driving late. Looked like they might steal the game with a touchdown. Ball got punched out. I think Owungabongli for the Texans. As I'm probably botching his name, fumbled, and that was it. Agunbowale is probably how you pronounce it. Stafford got a first down to seal it. Again, he did not do a lot, but 245, 21 to 29, so more than I thought. You figure with his back situation that they probably wouldn't be that aggressive with him. And they were, well, I don't know, he got hit a lot. He got hit a lot. So I was skeptical that he could stay healthy for the whole season with the back concerns. But he got hit a lot. He got up. He made throws when he needed to. He's a really good player, and they're well coached. So they could have easily lost. Texans were driving late to steal it, but could not get it home. So that's a little thought or two on each. Before we get to Jeff, one last thing. The Friday night game, Chiefs Chargers. I think the Chiefs will be fine. Look, you played enough of these one-score games. I think they'd won 15 straight one-score games. You played enough of these. Eventually, you're going to lose one, and they did. They lose by six. Rich Eisen, who I like, who everybody likes. He's got a very high approval rating. You know, he was on SportsCenter for years. He's got good personality. He's just he's likable. He's very, very likable. He did the play-by-play Friday night for Chiefs Chargers. He was about as bad as anyone I've ever heard on play-by-play. He was getting names wrong. He was calling completions incompletions and vice versa. It was like every two plays he made a mistake. He said the two-point conversion was good when it wasn't. It was dropped. It was so bad. And then 9-point game late, Chiefs have the ball. They're in field goal range, fourth down. Obviously, he kicked the field goal to cut it to six and hope to get the ball back. He was like shocked that the Chiefs were kicking a field goal when everybody kind of knew they were kicking a field goal. That wasn't a shocking thing at all. And then Herbert runs for the first down to seal it. And he says, well, that might do it. It's not might do it. I understand these announcers leave themselves a little wiggle room. You don't want to be that definitive. It's three kneels and the game's over. It didn't seem like he knew the severity of that play, that sealed the game. Boy, he was shaky. It was, and again, I like Eisen. I think a lot of people like Eisen. It was like he's never watched a football game. It was so bad. It was surprisingly bad. And I know he's done games before in London. He does games for the NFL Network. And I remember him not being great. I don't remember him being this bad. I don't know if he couldn't see the game. But you're getting names wrong, getting plays wrong. That was a disaster. Disaster on Friday night with Eisen. There was a point in the first half where I had the game on, but I wasn't really watching or listening. And I just kind of... You couldn't help but notice, even if you were only casually paying attention, just how many mistakes he was making play after play after play. That was a disaster of a broadcast Friday night. But good to have it back. Good to have it back. Hopefully the picks improve here. That was just a disaster. Speaking of disasters, a disaster week for me. But we move on. Good or bad, move on. We'll be fine. The picks can only get better from here, that is for sure. But to discuss this, we'll talk Monday Night Football, reaction to week one. We'll talk to Jeff Schwartz. That is next. This Should Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Bet More podcast. You can catch him on Fox Sports, the Bear Bets podcast. Former NFL offensive lineman. It is the great Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, we are recording right as these 4 o'clock Eastern games have ended. We're all catching our breath. We're all realizing how ridiculous it is to wager on this league. How was your first Sunday? What's going on?
I had a great college football Saturday, too, which makes Sunday NFL, like, just even worse. Because I talk about this all the time. Like, I don't know about you, Will, but I, like, never sweat college football games. Like, when I win them, I just win them. And I can never sweat. If I lose, I just flat lose. Like the Duke thing, like just flat out lost. Like they lost by 4 touchdowns, just lost. Other games, I just won. In the NFL, every second, you're dreading what's about to happen. It's I don't know what it is about this league, but I was 3-2 in contest plays. I some individual wagers went well. Look, I was on the Colts, which was great. It's my best bet of the week. That was good. I made some other bad, I mean, the NFL, I think we're just clawing to be plus money by the end of the Sunday. Like just fighting our last breath to get there. But I didn't have any egregious errors today, but the Colts winning was nice.
Yeah, I was not good. I had a rough week, college, NFL. But I will say what we're talking about, though, and just the absurdity of betting this league was epitomized by the Atlanta game for me. Oh, Atlanta, yes. Tampa, where I'm sitting there with plus, I actually got a good number, plus 2.5, I think. And the knee's down, and then it's not down, and then another play where the knee's down, and it's almost down. And it's like you're sitting here, and you're just betting on fractions of inches. Then,
yes.
You know, personal fouls and all of these things. It's like you really like feel like you have an edge with this stuff, or you're just kind of hoping, the ball bounces your way. Yeah. That's really what it feels like sometimes.
It's also too like I don't really follow the sharp, the public Joe thing in college football as much because I think it's just there's so many games it's harder to do that. But in the NFL, man, again, like, you know, the Giants were such a sharp side this week, right? Everyone I knew that was that's good at this was on the Giants, and it wasn't even close. I didn't bet the Giants because, well, I bet them as a bartender fade, but I mean, I just was refused to do it. I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense to me. And now there's already talk about you know, coach not committing to Russell Wilson even into week two, which is no surprise. So even like the sharp plays, you know, you mentioned Seattle didn't get home, Atlanta didn't get home. These were a lot of plays that, you know, the sharps run. The Jets got home, Browns got home, which was nice. But yeah, it was you got another NFL week, man, where it's a while and this happens.
All right, let's get into some of these games. I guess I'll start with this. What will we look back on middle of the season, end of the season, and week one will not be representative of the full year? I think back to like Saints-Packers, if you remember the game like 4 years ago. Yeah. The Packers got destroyed week one. They had to relocate the game, and it looked like the Packers were done, and Rodgers was washed, and the Packers ended up being really good. I think they were the one seed. There was another year, I think it was Brady's first year with Tampa, where they looked bad, they lost, and then the Patriots won. It was like, oh, Belichick's gonna be fine without Brady. Brady's nothing without Belichick. So sometimes week one can be misleading. What team looked bad today that will end up being good, or vice versa?
I just don't think the Steelers and Jets are scoring 30 points very often this season. So like, we're gonna look back on that score and be like, what? That was 34-32. I mean, really on the Jets side too. Look, I'm just sort of. Okay, the Steelers have Rodgers. Like, okay, that makes sense. Well, they're going to score some points. But the other side, I don't think the Jets are scoring 32 in many games. The other one I think is easy is just like the Chiefs are going to be fine, I think. They have some issues. But we're going to look back on that game, and, you know, they're going to have Rashee Rice at some point, and Xavier Worthy will come back, and, you know, they'll be better on defense as the season gets going. But I think that Jets-Steelers final score just stands out to me as like a game that we're just not going to see, I think, that often, where those two teams are in the 30s.
How about a team that didn't look good? Do you think all the teams that didn't look good today, that's pretty much we're going to get the Miamis of the world? You know, these teams that looked bad. Do you see any of these teams that looked bad or lost? You know, besides the Chiefs, do you see anybody like, all right, I mean, that's kind of a fluke. They'll be fine.
I know we've talked a lot about the Patriots this season, heading into the season, being such a big favorite. Well, I don't think they're going to be as bad offensively as they were today, as they figure out sort of who their offensive weapons are. They weren't terribly bad, but they didn't run the ball very well, and they only scored 13 points, which in the end is not good enough. You know, they did they were 60 yards short, but I think the Patriots offense will get better throughout the season. That was an ugly performance today, but I think the Titans are going to stink, the Dolphins are going to stink, you know, the Saints are going to be terrible, all the teams that the Giants, who knows. With Russell Wilson maybe not being there. The other team is the Panthers, man. They just look discombobulated today. I don't think they're going to be this bad all season. I could be wrong. They've had three turnovers, which certainly killed them. I think the Panthers will play better than they did today.
The 15-win teams. You talked a little bit about the Chiefs. How concerning is this for the Lions? Coordinators, the offensive line. We know Goff isn't the same player when he doesn't have the running game or you get pressure on him. Green Bay's a good team, so... maybe it's not complete panic time, but what would your level of concern be with Detroit?
I think it would be pretty high. Look, I think, Will, it's fair to say that the last two years, was a really window for them to win, right? You make the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. You play the Commanders at home last season. And Jared Goff's not getting better, right? He's not getting better. He is what he is at this point. You have offensive line changes. You have coordinator changes. And they play a really tough schedule. All their toughest games this year, out of division, are on the road. They're at Kansas City. They're at the Bengals. They're at the Ravens. They're at the Commanders. They're at the Eagles. I mean, it's a tough sledding for them this season when they're just not as good as they were last season. They're probably going to be fine. But I think today showed the Packers are pretty good. I think that there was, of course, a lot of steam on them once the Micah Parsons trade happened. We saw today he had, what, one sack? You know, like that's what he's there for. End of game, you know, rushing down Jared Goff, making a play there. It's what they need him for. So I thought the Packers looked really good today. The Lions, you know, I think there's a concern there. Just they're not as good as they've been. And that's okay. It happens in the NFL. But that's my concern with them.
By the time people listen to this, usually this gets uploaded 6 a.m. Eastern. People listen to it, you know, in the morning, drive to work or whatever. By the time people listen to this, how many kickers will have been cut?
Oh, geez. I mean, we should just ban the kickers. Just ban them all. You know what's so funny? It's the Larry David take, obviously, you know, is yes. With the kickoff, being where it is now, and the teams in theory returning it further or starting at the 35, it seems easier to score points now. Kickers obviously have to make their kicks. But the unders were like 11-1 today, something crazy like that. 12-2, something. They haven't played that many games yet. 11-2, like the unders were hit a lot today. Obviously, they hit Thursday and under weird circumstances as well. It might have hit on Friday as well. The kickers, obviously, missing kicks today helped a lot of that. Koo missed a kick. The Browns, I mean, you missed a field goal and a PAT there at the end. They have a purpose, obviously, because they're part of the team, and you do score points that way. But, man, it would frustrate me to lose a game if I'm a fan on a kick, man. But, yeah, these guys, it's their job, and they have to get it done. But it feels sometimes like it's more difficult than maybe we think it is. I don't know, man. They really struggle with it.
What you saw today, anything that will trigger a bet in terms of futures, awards, anything?
Is the first coach fired market up yet? And
what are you looking at, McDaniel?
Yeah, McDaniel for that. I feel pretty good. I mean, I have my biggest plays for futures are like Dolphins under, Panthers over, which doesn't seem great as of today. I have the Chiefs to win the division, which I don't think I'm moving off of that quite yet. I don't think much. Lions no playoffs. I think that's a little bit of too much of a hill there for me to climb. Will on that one. I think they're going to be just fine. I haven't thought of anything. You know, I'm at some point. I do want to fade the Steelers and fade their win total at some point. I don't know if this is the exact time to do it, but that's something I'm going to eye mostly every week and see what their win total is at. Now the other one I will tell you, I have not looked at this today, but after the Cowboys lost and their win total was hovering 7.5, I believe about 7.5 right before the season, it went to 7.5 at plus money. I don't get that move. They're supposed to lose to the Eagles. Why would you move off that number and make it a plus money number? They got the Giants next. They have Jets, Panthers. Like, there's so many winnable games. Cardinals on their schedule, the Raiders on their schedule. You know, there's winnable games here. I think plus money 7.5 is a good wager, considering again that their number was 7.5 before the season, and they were 9-point or 8.5-point dogs, you know, to the Eagles in Week 1.
What do you expect from this Monday night game? Vikings, Bears, we're down to, it's mostly one here. The 1.5s are gone, which most people say, oh, no big deal, but for teasers, it matters. Yeah. I know there's been some philosophy. Steve Fezzik, our buddy, has made the point, if the Lions look really bad against the Packers, maybe you take the Bears because Ben Johnson was more important than you think, and that sort of correlation. But Vikings, Bears, total 44, Vikings laying a point. What do you think here?
Really? You take the Bears because of that reason? What does that have to do with I mean, the Bears have Caleb Williams. We don't know what he's going to be in this offense. You can't blindly bet on the Bears because the Lions stunk on offense today. That doesn't make sense to me. The Vikings are better if McCarthy just doesn't screw it up, which is not a terrible way to handicap a team, Will. But think about where the Bears are better. The answer is nowhere. They're not better anywhere, right? Proven coaches. Proven offensive line, proven wide receivers, tight end, running backs, defense, defensive coordinator. All these things are positive for the Vikings. Just about quarterback play. And so I would lean Minnesota here just because of that. Caleb Williams might be really good at some point this season. Isn't it so funny that the Bears beat Buffalo in the preseason in Week 2 like 30-0? And it was like, oh my God, the Bears are the greatest thing ever. Your boy Fez put out a tweet saying, like, I think I'm betting they're went till over after this game. And then they look to the Chiefs next week and stunk. They're down like 17-0 with the starters playing. So how about just don't overreact to the preseason, guys? I would lean Vikings here, Will, ever so slightly. I don't have much on this game, but that's the direction I would look.
Any offensive lines? Because I think really, and we bust balls a lot, but your value a lot is not a lot of people handicap the offensive line and have expertise to handicap the offensive line. Anyone you look at and say, you know what, I got to fade them because their offensive line, or anyone's offensive line that jumps out to you in the positive, former offensive lineman watching the league, what stood out to you today?
So I have the Bengals to not make the playoffs for this reason. Like, their offensive line is just not very good at show today. Again, like, they must have a fetish for getting Joe Burrow hit so much, because it just seems to happen every single year, no matter what. And I get that, you know, the Browns have Myles Garrett, of course, but still a huge problem for them. And the thing about it is, a lot of the bad teams have bad offensive lines. There's not many good teams right now that have bad offensive lines to really fade. I think in certain situations you can fade a team playing a good defensive line, right? Team total under, something like that. I took the Titans team total under today. That bad offensive line played Denver, things like that. But there's no one this week so far that stood out to me that I didn't think was going to be good. I will say the Chargers offensive line looked fantastic against Kansas City. That stood out pretty clearly to me, considering there were questions at left guard and center, and obviously Joe Alt having to move to left tackle. I'm excited to watch as we record this Sunday Night Football. The Bills offensive line's fantastic. Again, Monday night with the Vikings and what the Bears are trying to do with their offensive line. I thought Dallas' offensive line held up pretty well against Philly. Obviously, Jalen Carter wasn't there. But nothing like I'm already fading the Dolphins. They have a terrible offensive line. The Bengals, to me, not a playoff team. If I told you, you know, not a good defense and then a top five worst offensive line, you'd be like, there's no way, right? And obviously, Joe Burrow's incredible and that he keeps him in games. Tennessee's offensive line, I think fading Tennessee parts of the season, not against a spread. I think they covered today by a point half a point, depending on where you got the number. But it's a concern when you play some of these better defenses about just moving the ball up and down the field.
What a quick college thought here before I get out of here. What has changed in your mind in the first 2 weeks of seeing college? Your biggest takeaway is what?
Oh, man. I don't know, Oregon's good. I think that we're going to just – there hasn't been a ton of these games. I'll tell you, most of my takeaways have been sort of to the negative. Like, Texas's offense is a real problem, Will. I was very surprised the way they played against San Jose State. Like, I thought they would be better, and they weren't. A lot of their points were off turnovers, which is good to have, but not terribly impressive. Clemson, I mean, what's happening, man? You have a veteran offensive line. Illinois' offensive line. It's like, you guys are veteran, man. Illinois is a great fade team the next couple of weeks. Really, this week, I think. They play some schmuck team, and they play Indiana the next weekend. I think they're a good fade after that big Duke win. But to me, it's more about the teams I thought that were going to be good, Will, that aren't. And that is a little concerning because, you know, you go out and you stake your name on a couple teams through early in the season, and they kind of look terrible. It makes you look bad a little bit. But those teams, to me, just, you know, not as crisp as I thought they would be.
Who's the best team in the country?
I don't know. Probably Ohio State, until they're beating Ohio State, probably, right? I know Oregon jumped to, like, number one SP and number one in Kelly Ford and number one whatever FPI is. Can we just eliminate FPI? It's just ridiculous. Oregon was 7 last week and moved to 1 by beating a terrible team. How's that possible? Ohio State played Texas and then beat Grambling. Oregon played Oklahoma State and did Montana State. How are we ahead of Ohio State? How does the system work where that's the way it is, Will? I have made one wager, though. I took Texas Tech minus 23.5 hosting Oregon State this weekend. I don't know if Sunday you get the best of the number with these big spreads. I could see this one going up a little bit before getting hammered back down later in the week. But Oregon State's not very good. They lost to Fresno State and lost to Cal, and they're on the road for the first time. I'll make some money back on Texas Tech, who just atrociously did not. Getting hooked on a game when a team scores 62 points is kind of upsetting. We, for those who might have missed it, we all had as a group minus 48.5 Texas Tech. It was 55-0. Then they allowed a touchdown, so we're teetering right there, and then they allowed another touchdown off a fumble, and then they scored again, so we're landing on 48. But it was, what was it, halftime? 48-0 at halftime?
At least. That was like 21-0 right away, 28-0. Texas Tech was calling timeouts to get the ball back. It looked like that game was headed for like 80-0. Then touchdown, fumble, another touchdown. Like, what the hell just happened?
Because I actually, this weekend, week two, and maybe week three, a couple spots, like I don't mind taking the big number with the favorites. I bet on Alabama this weekend. They won big. I bet like my contest plays for the college contest. I had Bama in there, I had USC in there, I had Oregon in there. Texas didn't win, but I think like in those situations, those teams are gonna USC blows out everyone, but Bama is gonna bounce back. Will, like, I'm eyeing Penn State right now. That number won't be up until very late because they play Villanova. But Penn State's not gonna play bad again at home this weekend. I think the first couple of weeks there's plenty of opportunities to sort of have those moments. to bet these big favorites, but it didn't get home with Texas, and it didn't get home with Tech either.
What I meant to ask this earlier, what is, because you and I both like food a lot, what is your Sunday or even Saturday food routine? What's the spread? You sit down 1 o'clock to watch the games. What do you eat? What do you make? Do you order in? Do you cook? So, take us through all the details.
So I have radio 10 to 1 Eastern. So 1 o'clock starts the games, obviously. If I have leftovers, I'll eat that. Sometimes I just order food on Sunday for lunch. And then, like, today, so my wife does not like football. She's not a football person. And so NFL Sunday, she's not a fan of sitting in front of the TV all day. Now, for college football, I live my Saturday. I choose a day of the week, right? I choose Sunday afternoon, right, Will, to watch football. Saturday, my favorite team, often Oregon, plays later in the day. So I just spend the day with family. It's more of a family day. If we have family stuff to do, I do it. I watch on my phone. I don't have to be, like, glued to the TV. But Sunday, it's just NFL windows. Right now, I'm going to watch games. It's always hard for her to deal with NFL Sunday. So the compromise we've basically made is that Sunday is family day. So family comes over on Sunday. So she has family there. We have kind of a quote-unquote party. So today I made hibachi. I'm mostly on the flat-top grill most Sundays, cooking up something where I make these smash burgers with tortillas. I make tacos. I did hibachi tonight. Every now and then we'll order sushi on a Sunday night, but a lot of times I'm on that flat-top. It's nice outside right now. The weather's nice. It's normally never really cold in the South, so obviously in December. So I'm on that flat top grill, Will, every Sunday, and got my TV out there. Got the four box, the quad box going, and that's what I did. I did chicken, steak, noodles, rice, vegetables, onions, zucchini, squash, mushrooms. Yeah, onions, zucchini, squash, mushrooms. Yeah, and the key, I'll tell you what I did. I like Chinese food. I don't know. I like Chinese takeout. But, you know, it's not the best for you, but it is what it is. But I started to learn to make it myself, like learn it just at home. And so I bought MSG, and it makes a difference. Food tastes better. You know, it just does. So today was the first day with MSG. I got people like, man, the rice tastes good. What'd you do differently this time? I was like, I'm special. I just made it. Just a little sprinkle of the spoon. MSG is fine for you. It's just like a little sprinkle of MSG on there. The MSG, man, I bought like real, like off Amazon, like real, like not like the flavor, you know, the Accent. You could buy that brand Accent at the grocery store. No, I bought like real, like MSG. So big difference today in the fried rice bowl was the MSG. How about that?
That is a pro tip right there. Pro tip, get the MSG. What is it? You just drizzle it? You just drizzle it?
Like salt or pepper. You just sprinkle it on.
Yeah. Sprinkle.
Yeah. Not much. I mean, experiment. Like, I follow recipes-ish. I just experiment. Like, next time I might put more and see what it tastes like, or put less. I don't know. But I just put a little bit on. You can always think about spices, too. You know this. We share a food picture all the time. You can always add seasoning. You can't take it away. So you can start slow in adding seasoning. And if it's not enough, you add more. You can never take salt, pepper, anything away. You can always add more to it. So good tip there.
So you're a big you taste along the way. Yes. That would be a tip? Yeah.
Oh, I salt, and you should salt at every step too. And people just look at salt at the end. And if you really do it right, you know, you should salt, like if you're making a pasta or something, or you're making, like, you salt the first layer, you salt the second layer, you salt the third layer. So you don't use a lot. It's up to you how much sodium you want to use, but you need to spread out the seasonings over the layers, so that's the way it tastes better.
Jeff, you're the best, man. Appreciate it. Where can find you?
Fox Sports, my Jeff Schwartz Morning View podcast. I do the GM Shuffle here on VSiN as well, with Marty Herney. Will be Marty drafted me with the Panthers, cut me as well. We had some fun times. I love doing it with Marty because we have that relationship with each other. It's a ton of fun.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
All right, that will do it. Thank you to Jeff Schwartz. Thank you for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Again, the reviews help under a new feed. All of that stuff can really help. So I've seen a few guys write the reviews. We'll eventually do a contest here, a giveaway. If you follow the pod, you follow me, write a review, that kind of thing. We'll give away some cash. That'll be coming up soon. So keep an eye out for that. We will be back Wednesday. See you then.